Well, everybody knows that.
Wait a second. Maybe I could host with Anderson Cooper this New Year's.
I feel like comedy...
I'm going tranny, baby. I'm going tranny.
I feel like comedy is about taking the patience and the listening that people have given you with their attention by being an audience and just rubbing your dick all over their face. slapping their nose.
Are doing the riverboat again?
No, we're not.
Fuck no.
Really?
I won't do it.
I heard it was that good.
And I said I would do a nursing home, and I won't do that.
She said she would fuck a guy at a nursing home rather than go back to the
riverboat. I'll do it so hard. I'm going to shove him in a supply closet and make his dreams come true.
He was a complete vegetable, but still better lay than some boyfriends. So.
Jesus.
Jeremy.
That gives a lot of credit to a half comatose war veteran.
Yeah.
God.
Greatest generation my ass, I guess. Right?
And the pillow talk as you sat there smoking a cigarette, still better than some, so.
Well, there's Jeremy maniacally laughing. When you hear that, you know it's the beginning of quality time.
Hey,
welcome, everybody.
Quality time.
Quality time, guys. Mm. My name is Eric Woodworth, joined by Kimberly Ambrose and Jeremy Woodworth.
Hey.
Guys, ladies,
Barry,
how are you doing?
Otherwise known as Kathy Griffin.
Kathy Griffin is back in the house again.
So timely in the news.
You know, I completely called earlier this week when Kathy Griffin got in trouble, for those of you guys who are living under a rock, for cutting off President Trump's head in effigy with it was all bloody and everything, just to make a statement, you know, as comedians are apt to do. And the thing that initially came to my mind was like, Gore's been doing that for fucking years. I mean, at least every president since I can remember. I mean, I'm pretty sure they've done George Washington up.
My favorite Gore moment and the moment of reflection. Mm. Gore reflection. Mm. Da, da, da. Do you have some lovely music for this Gore reflection music?
I got nothing.
Okay. Well, a part of...
Wait, let me help you. Wait, you keep talking.
No, I'll add it in the background.
Go ahead.
We'll post-edit it. We got you.
I was thinking
we
the music from Xena, the Warrior Princess. But,
oh, that's pretty great.
So there's a moment during one of the Guar songs where he definitely has sex with a dead quadriplegic mm-hmm. that is literally on like a board on stage that Odorous has sex with.
Mm, go on.
And I think the line that stole it is during that moment in the song, Beefcake, who's the Blaze player, says, is this supposed to be artistic? Which
hey.
Beefcake eventually did leave the band, only to come back after Odorous died of an overdose. So, yeah, Beefcake.
R.I.P. Amen.
Never date a quadriplegic if you're into handjobs. Anyway.
Even if she's deaf,
yeah.
if she gives you a handjob, that's still like oral.
I saw this meme earlier this week. Before we really get into the meat potatoes of the show, I did see this meme earlier in the week. It was of Helen Keller, and it was a quote that said, "Hey, at least flashbang grenades don't work on me." Sure.
Yes.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
We share a birthday.
Look, do we have to talk about Jews hiding during World War II? That's very offensive.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
But thank you again for joining us
Racist
on another
bastards.
Installment of Quality Time, guys. We have some big things coming up and down the pipeline. If you can check out, Kim and I are coming to Syracuse next Sunday. You can see the murder mystery live and in action at the Syracuse Funny Bone.
Funny Bone.
All that jazz. You can check out at dielaughingproductions.com. And other stuff, because that's where Kim and I usually meet up and do all the fun stuff other than our single stand-up careers outside of this pod.
I think it's going to be fun because our murder mystery is so different because we're all comedians. So it's a little darker. It's a little more adult, very unexpected. And it's going to be fun to do it at a New York comedy club. I mean, that's like That's exciting.
Yeah, in straight out of Syracuse,
what?
And it is a great. It's a great place. I've been up there a couple times.
Are
we
doing? Are you guys doing the 80s?
I believe we're doing The Last Laugh.
The Last Laugh,
which is a, it's our first one that we ever did.
The roast.
Oh, it's a new one.
It's a comedian roast.
No, it's the very first one we did. It's actually the oldest one possibly we could do.
Oh, before the superheroes.
But Syracuse has never seen it, so they'll love it.
Yeah. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. Color me excited. Rob Mayer will be up featuring, I think, all that week, I think.
I believe,
or maybe
so.
He's hosting.
His weekend, yeah.
I don't remember what he's doing up there. He was supposed to open for somebody, and then Tommy was supposed to, like, feature. I don't know. I got all
messed
up.
Yeah, I got involved, too. I was scheduled to be up there, and then it was like, yeah, we're just doing the murder mystery. And I was like, don't say just, you guys.
Well, I've been regulated to not even getting a call anymore. So
I have a realistic question, because I don't remember the first one, but... Were you naked in the first one?
I've found ways. I've worked it in. I've worked in nudity into this one as well.
I get to play
this is before your burrito time.
Yeah, this is before, you know, this burrito. Is where I was just allowed to, you know, give my little 2 cents, and Joe thought I was useless as part of the cast. And then off came the shirt, and they were like, well, this kid's going to be a star. And I've been on all the productions ever since. So
I get to play a doctor, which for a female, that's very exciting for me.
You know, it's very progressive of us.
Right?
We're like, well, so give her a
doctor. What the hell is that?
Thank
women
you.
Doctors?
Thank you, nurse.
Next
Ashley.
Women will be driving cars. Gosh.
You can vote on what to do in the surgery room, but not in the policy. Whatever. I lost a word.
Next
somewhere.
Women to be voting? What the hell?
Oh, yes. So yeah, definitely come check us out on Die Laughing Productions. Kim runs all the social media there, so if you want to get in touch with us,
Die Laughing Productions
a good way.
On Instagram.
Absolutely. Check that shit out, bro.
Check it out, bro.
And also, if we could use your support, listeners, please log on to the iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. Even if you don't listen to the show, I want you to tap your buddy on the side and say, hey, you want to do a good deed today? Give this podcast a 5-star rating.
Or
okay?
Fuck good deeds and fuck the man. Just give it to us.
Yeah.
Fuck the man.
I'm going to go out on a limb, because I know we have at least 20 listeners out there.
At least. A minimum.
20. And I will give each and every listener that gives us a 5-star rating, out of my own pocket, $1.
Holy shit, Jeremy.
An actual dollar.
Wow.
$1 per rating.
I might have to go through my change drawer and send you 4 quarters, or maybe 10 dimes.
Worth it.
But guaranteed $1.
That's kind of, well, you can't send it because the stamp is going to cost something.
But more important for your conscience sake, our competition is Quality Time German. And you do know what that means?
Yeah.
That a vote for American Quality Time is a vote against the Nazis.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You like Nazis if you don't give us a 5-star rating. How about that?
So if you,
you
if you think
traitorous
German,
pieces of shit.
Cash me outside. How about that?
If you think German Quality Time is better, why don't you just piss on Wonder Woman, piss on Captain America, and
disgusting.
Piss on Superman.
Deplorable.
Although he is an immigrant.
And if you could save a little of that piss for me, I'm kind of so...
I really mean this to the Jews.
If you could put me under a glass table and just do it there, that'd be great. Anyway, guys, Cyborgs Part 2, we've got it.
Yes.
We're going to finish up the bifecta, because we did so much research leading up to this.
We watched at least 3 films.
We watched
yes. hard.
We watched 4 movies, and
real
we got
hard.
Through 2 of them last time. And you know what? We just can't get away from doing that. So, to kick it off here, what do we do? I guess we should we do chronological?
Yes.
Should we do chronological in order of which they came out? We had 2 JCVD movies to present to you, ladies and gentlemen, this evening. For those of you who don't know, JCVD is Jean-Claude Van Damme.
All hail.
The man from France who could do splits and kick people in the face.
Great jawline.
And the film, 1989's American martial arts classic, Cyborg. Directed by Albert Finn. Albert Fun? Albert
Not
Fun
Albert
is his
Fish.
Name?
Albert Finney?
As long what? As it wasn't Albert Fish.
His name is P-Y-U-N. Pyun? Albert Pyun.
Oh, no, you're pronouncing it wrong. It's Albert Pyun.
Pyun! Pyun, 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 pyun! God, first of all, can I just tell you how many things this movie can rip off in one single film? Does it rip off the Terminator?
Yes.
It sure does rip off the Terminator. Does it rip off Mad Max? Oh, a hell of a lot.
With no regard for respect.
does it rip off every single guitar manufacturer in the United States and abroad. Yes. It does those things.
And you know what I'd like to say it rips off the most?
What's that?
Purple Rain.
Purple Rain.
Because the bad guy really is the Morris Day cyborg futuristic Morris Day that Prince has to fight. Even though Jean-Claude isn't really black like Prince, he really is Prince.
He is so. He's pretty French though,
which is the same as being Prince.
Yeah, androgyny and French are pretty much hand in hand in my eyes.
That makes sense.
And that one scene, and that one scene in Cyborg after Jean-Claude Van Damme's dad dies, and he's like. The guy, bad guy says, how's the family doing? That was so offensive.
Yeah.
I saw a meme and it was a picture of the dad from, what was that called? Is that The Killing? And it said, that awkward moment when somebody asks you how many kids you have.
Yeah, because your kids are super dead.
I enjoy that. I enjoy that a lot.
That's a really good one.
Bet you Andrea Yates gets that every day in jail. So,
so Jean-Claude Van Damme stars as Gibson Rickenbacker. Remember that name. It's going to come in handy later. A mercenary who battles a... Jeremy's not going to be able to even control himself through the explanation and synopsis of the film.
Gosh.
He's a mercenary who battles a group of murderous marauders led by... Fender Tremolo.
Whoa, you guys. So American.
Or a.k.a. actor Vincent Kilne, who can also be seen in the movie Point Break, oddly enough.
It's Ooh. Almost like but yeah. when both of these men were born fictionally, their mother sweating. She, oh, my God. So I'm, much right. She looked down and she was like, I can already tell he's a badass. I can already tell. I'm going to name him after a Stratocaster.
I'm gonna guess that the person that wrote this film was a musician.
No, he actually was just a really big Braille fan for some reason. He really liked Braille. He leads him against the Fender Tremolo along the east coast of the United States in post-apocalyptic future. The film is the first of Finn Cyborg trilogy. It was followed by 1993's Knights. Originally titled Kingdom of Metal Cyborg Killer.
That's badass. I like that.
And in 1997, Omega Doom, which actually sounds pretty fucking cool.
Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb here, even though I haven't seen any sequel to Cyborg. Mm-hmm. But I'm guessing the bad guys in the metal version are actually like Jackson Kramer.
Yeah, or EPS and Epiphone.
Wait, what's the most metal of all
Epiphone
guitars?
Epiphone Johnson.
BC Rich.
A BC Rich?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. A Dean? Just Dean.
Dean.
Yeah. Dean is pretty metal.
He has a Dean guitar.
I got a Dean guitar. Yeah. Okay. It's all right.
Whoa.
It's
all right. Whoa.
No BC Rich, I'll tell you that.
This just became high quality time.
Plot of the movie
We're
follows...
We're getting high? Oh my gosh.
A plague known as the Living Death cripples civilization. A small group of surviving scientists and doctors located in Atlanta, home of the CDC, work on a cure to save what remains of humanity. To complete their work, they need information stored in a computer system in New York City. Pearl Prophet volunteers for the dangerous courier mission and is made into a cyborg through surgical augmentation. So that's pretty much it. They need special information from a thing in a server up in New York.
That is not what I gathered.
And
do you recognize all these brands?
It was I was distracted.
There's lots of other brands. So Pearl is also a
drum set.
Right.
Accompanied by her bodyguard Marshall Stratt. I can't make this up.
It's almost like Fender someone at Bill's Music wrote this.
Fender and Tremolo are both guitar references right there. It's just
Jeremy,
first of all, is giggling like a little schoolgirl throughout this. And Gibson Fender, of course, is, you know, Gibson and Fender. You get all that. One of my favorite things other than this movie is shot almost as bad as the movie Mortal Kombat Annihilation, just to be... It looks like it was honestly done by the same director that did Eliminators. And this is like his... This is his coming out party, you know? Made that in 88 or...
It looks like the same director who made his own home movie. It looks like it was that guy.
I gotta hand it to the cyborg that I think the editing and the cinematography was a little better. Acting, just gosh awful.
Yes.
And some of the action scenes you know, very bad. Just
Wait,
amazingly
some
bad.
Some of the action scenes, you mean all of the movie?
Yes, yeah. The rest of the movie. Yeah.
Listen, it's a lot.
I got to be honest with you. After watching Cyborg post-Mutant Hunt, I was just like, God, this is such a refreshing action scene. You mean they're just not breaking random 2x4s and just tumbling over bed? I mean, this is pretty great.
Did they end with 4?
With 4?
Cyborg 4.
I guess I don't. You know, I didn't venture past the first of the series. So.
No, me neither.
Which tells you how great it is.
Yeah.
But if you knew, I'd question Cyborg in space.
There's got to be a sequel.
Spaceborg. I do like one of the quotes that the bad guy Fender Tremolo has in the movie. Who, by the way, I think looks like the guy from Hot Young Prophets or whatever it is. She drives me crazy.
Fine Young Cannibals.
Yeah,
yes.
He looks like the lead singer of Fine Young Cannibals to me.
Everybody else says FYC.
Y'all want
and by everybody, I mean me and this guy Barry when we talk in my truck.
Want me to put a little FYC in the CD player? Hey.
This was my favorite quote from the movie from Fender Tremolo. Then we heard the rumors. Then we heard the rumors that the last scientists were working on a cure that would end the plague and restore the world. Restore it? Why? I like the death. I like the misery. I like this world!
That's great. I remember enjoying that when I was watching it because I kept being like, man, this is rough to get through. And then he said that and I was like, fuck yeah.
I do kind of like this world. I'm all of a sudden on his side. I always knew I was a Tremolo guy.
I wish he would have said that more simply by just being like, I'm really into no rules and fires in trash cans. That is my shit.
What is it about the post-apocalyptic world that there always has to be trash cans on fire?
And yet it always looks like it's fucking hot out.
Yeah, it's hot all the time.
I
don't
understand. Yeah, and then what's with the layering? Like, they'll wear a lot of layers, but it's hot and there's trash can fires. Make up your mind.
I think that's just like how we question people in the Middle East, why they're always dressed in the desert so much. It's to keep the sweat in so it doesn't all evaporate.
I think it's to make it look like your budget was higher, but that's just me.
I think it was the height of fashion in the 80s if you looked kind of like Sting in the Synchronicity video.
Right,
where
right.
You're like kind of like bummy clothes in the apocalyptic future, but you paid like $10,000 for that suit from somewhere.
Because it's that I don't care look, right? It's like, oh, my clothes don't fit and the lines aren't right. And like, I look like they're way over, you know, they're just too big or too small. And there's a lot of them for no reason. I don't care. I'm
dressed for the apocalypse. Dude, you just got out of a limo. Yeah, okay, you know, really?
You have 4 hand chains. Why?
So much chain mail is used in this film, too, that yeah. Everybody was just like, you know what, we got this. Jason, come back here real quick. Jason, throw a piece of chain mail around his form. Send him back yeah. out there. God damn, he looks great.
What
he looks
is it missing?
You missed my favorite character from the movie. Is Roland something. Mm-hmm. Did you mention him?
I didn't mention Roland. This is all
Roland.
You, brother.
That's another character named after the musical instruments in that movie, so... How about that special moment where she reveals her breasts to him and he just has that deadpan look on his face like, oh.
I'm French. This doesn't even concern me. He's just clearly... like, and?
Your breasts are almost as large as mine.
What's for breakfast? I mean,
wait, that was the one time JCV didn't have to act because when he sees titties, he really has to pretend he likes them.
Now, wait a second. Wasn't Cyborg also... featured in our canon documentary because it was a canon film?
I don't believe it's a canon film. I believe Cyborg is a TriStar film, but you know, we
TriStar
can,
wasn't
we can
involved with canon.
We can confirm that in just a minute. Cyborg martial arts.
Well, I got another second to kill because I'm pretty sure I saw the clip from Cyborg in that film. That famous scene where he fights the guy.
It is a canon film. It is a canon film.
Where he fights the guy.
Yeah.
He fights the guy and he falls down the elevator shaft right at the camera. Obviously a dummy.
Yeah,
and it was
hilarious. There are some really cheesy effects in it. When I say that the effects are on par, it reminded me so much of Mortal Kombat 2 Annihilation.
Yes, agreed.
Like where you had a movie. Like you had the movie Terminator 2 and they were like, you know what? Let's make another one of these bad boys for $500,000. $500,000. $400,000 of it goes just to Jean-Claude Van Damme. So you're left with $100,000 to make this movie work.
Right, right, right.
Death Wish 3. So did you see the canon documentary?
No.
the highlight of that had to have been where they wanted to make something like Indiana Jones.
Okay.
And the very rich producer says, I want that Stone woman to star in my film. So what do they get? They get Sharon Stone, and they're like, wow, she's really up-and-coming actress. No! I want the woman from Romancing the Stone. Oh, that's what you meant. And of course, that's how the industry worked. So.
Yeah, Canon Films is a great. There's a movie called Canon Films Electric Boogaloo. It's on Netflix.
Their
it's
biggest
a must
film,
watch.
Electric Boogaloo.
Nice.
It's a very good movie about all. If there was a shitty movie that was made in the 80s, and I just ran across this one, didn't even realize it was in the Canon family.
The right.
They
canon,
probably made it.
The, right.
The
right.
Canon. Canon.
And it's all about
you.
It's all about Menachem.
Damn you, James Finn. James Finn steals all of my ideas.
So Cyborg made me feel like they didn't sell me.
Yeah?
They didn't sell me. I wasn't like, oh man, cyborgs would be cool, right? The whole time it was just like people getting kicked in the dick.
Yeah, it was just people that
it
did
martial...
It worked
out for no one.
Apparently, cyborgs are just people that can do more martial arts.
Yeah,
like, that's
and like,
it.
Yeah, it didn't really fix their shitty dystopian society. It didn't really like...
No.
Nobody got extra laid. There wasn't like a cool rock and roll band that grew from the ashes of this tragedy. Like it was just people
everybody
fighting.
Everybody was the rock.
I felt like the plot line was none of my business.
Okay. Do you think this led to the ultimate pinnacle of Jean-Claude Van Damme's career, which was Time Cop? And the pinnacle of his career was the moment where he jumps up on a counter and shows his butt.
Mm.
And so you see that as the camera moment. Oh, that was the height of his career right there.
I don't know. So. Listen, Jean-Claude has a lot of great movies. Sudden Death, with the one that's at there's a bomb at the hockey
Maybe
game.
Maybe you've heard of it.
I like Sudden Death. you don't like, what is it, Kickboxer Part 1?
Oh, come on.
Or, well, yeah.
Come
kickboxer.
On. That's an instant lay. If
but
you're
no
at home Netflixing and chilling.
Yeah, it's not Kickboxer 2, which is
or
also
Jim,
a great...
Or Gymkhana.
By the way, you know who else was in Kickboxer 2?
Chuck Norris.
Fender Tremolo, a.k.a. Vincent Killen.
Whoa!
Also in Kickboxer 2. Oddly enough, that is a fact I have written down here in my notes.
577 degrees of Fender Tremolo.
Hey, how much more Vincent Killen facts do you need before you realize this is an in-depth podcast here, okay?
Surprised I haven't met him at a church.
Give us 5 fucking stars!
5 stars now! Stop it, pause it, 5
right.
star before you hear the rest. Okay. Moving on, and I feel like I need to say this. This should just be the Jean-Claude Van Damme episode at this point, because I was sure that this was a cyborg movie, but through my research and heavy intensive training, I've determined it's not a cyborg movie, and that is Universal Soldier.
Walk me through this.
Universal Soldier. Well. let me put you D to this. It was a 1992 film. This is, you know, 3 years after Cyborg, right?
Can I just say before we continue that I put on Universal Soldier and within 3.5 minutes I was like, it has everything I've ever wanted. I loved it. I was like, I'm going to watch this 100,000 more times.
Did you watch it 100,000 more times?
I'm getting there. I just need to bring people to my house that I can trick into watching it with me.
Oh, the trickery is the first key to
yes.
everything.
And I feel like this is the perfect movie to have on a projector screen.
And after they're roofied and sitting there as if they're still awake
yes.
to watch it.
Which won't change the movie for them.
Hey, you can roofie me anytime. I love a good nap.
For our listeners who don't know about the wonders of the Universal Soldier, the film tells the story of Luke Devereaux, a former U.S. Special Forces officer who was killed in the Vietnam War in 1969 and returned to life following a secret military project called the Universal Soldier Program.
Mm-hmm.
However, he finds out about his past although his memory has been erased, and escapes along a young TV journalist on their way to dealing with the return of his arch enemy, Sergeant Andrew Scott, a.k.a. Big Dolph Lundgren. And chaos ensues. They fight a lot. I really thought this was about cyborgs, guys. So in the opening scene of this movie, you will see Jean-Claude Van Damme in the Vietnam War, and he runs into his sergeant, Sergeant Scott, who's played by Dolph Lundgren.
And he's like, oh my God, what are you doing here?
And he's like, oh my God, you've cut off everyone's ears.
Oh
and he's
God.
Wearing them as a necklace. So
this is crazy. Yeah. Us here like this? Look at your necklace. I mean, you look great.
Can you hear me? This was before cell phones, so it was a really funny joke.
Is Dolph trying to play American in this movie? Or
yes,
he's
supposed to be American.
Does he have an American accent?
He does. You know what? Dolph Lundgren sounds rather American. I think he just was such a good actor in Rocky IV that we all just assumed that he is Russian, but I believe he's actually German by descent.
I'm still convinced that the chick from Resident Evil is a foreigner, even though she's completely California girl.
Camila Jolovich?
Yes, Mila Jovovich.
She's not foreign?
She plays foreign so well, you think she is, but she's a California girl.
She's just
girl.
Like Dolph Lundgren. She's Americans.
She looks completely Polish.
Question. Is it possible that, and no disrespect, but is it possible that it's not the acting, it's the fact that Americans don't give a fuck where you're from, you're just not American.
You don't look American, hence I don't think you're an American.
Right, it's like American and then like German or something.
I only like American actors, like the guy who plays Rick on Walking Dead and Morgan. Those two are my two favorite American actors, and don't you try to tell me separates.
So in the opening scene, he finds that Sergeant Scott is going completely batshit insane, has cut off the ears of everyone, and they get into a little bit of a fight and end up killing each other.
AKA Apocalypse Now editing room droppings.
Very, very similar. As if it was like a scene that we were like, Quentin Tarantino was like, yeah, this is way too many ears.
Right,
like, I just can't put this many cut off ears in a single scene.
But you never would have had Dead Presidents had not been for that film. So.
Yeah, Dead Presidents is such a good movie. Yes. God damn it. I forget about how good it is.
Anything where you have necklaces.
Yeah, necklaces of human body parts, you know? You know, it's an Ed Gein thing.
You know? Am I right?
What you gonna put on your necklace? I was thinking about either penises or fingers or ears. You know, things that you can cut off and put on a necklace.
Hey, Eddie, can you make me another one of those toenail clipping sculptures you made the other week? I really like the one you made of my ma.
You know, you're not gonna be taking that to the regular civilized world. They look down on you, think, for that.
What we did here was we took a nice leather straplet that we have crafted, and then after it's been tanned and cut and dried, we just took a really nice sheet of thigh skin and wove it like a ribbon with the leather running through. It makes for a great children's party accoutrement.
Yeah.
It's a great statement piece. And just two payments of $24.99 shipped right to your door.
Daddy, look at all the fingers I'm wearing. Oh my gosh!
Now, yes, the box will be wet when you get it, but that is not something to be afraid of. That's something to embrace, ladies.
Did you ever see the some of the clothing that Ed Gein made that you can actually see?
Clothing?
Yeah, he used to make clothing out of stuff, like lampshades out of like human body parts and stuff.
Are you sure you're not thinking about...
They were really good.
They are actually... He's very talented.
He's really talented.
Yeah.
Very taut.
You ever seen the belt of nipples he made?
Classic.
It's just nipples.
Yes.
All sewn together.
Yes, classic. Sad to say.
Nipple belt.
Putting the sick in classic.
What I'm saying is, like, if Ed Gein happened today, how good would his Etsy page have been?
Oh my God, right? Oh my God.
And that is... That...
His Pinterest would have been fire.
And that's another Buffalo Bill tie-in, is that he sews things like his woman suit.
Okay, that's
and let's
something...
not forget his swastika quilt.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
That has to happen. We have to make a parody account on Pinterest.
Yeah,
Ed Gein's leatherworks.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Call Tommy Simbazo. Get him on the phone. Stat. We're gonna need his leatherworking skills.
Yes. Yes.
I really want you to make me a nice comfort, a nice couch. How many bodies is that going to take you? Oh, that'll take me months.
Ooh. You know, it would take about 10 people to fill up a gas tank.
Yeah.
Think about that. That's fun.
So, going back to Universal Soldier, he's brought back to life later. Him and, of course, Sergeant Scott are put on cryogenic freezing, brought back in the year 1992 as part of the Universal Soldier program.
In the future.
And it seems like the only thing, I thought they were robots because they have these little, like, things on their eyes, and I realized it's just a scope. It's
That's
not
what I kept
actually
thinking.
Enhancing.
Is that what makes them robots?
Is that it? Is that
it's
the
not.
Cyborg thing? No, they're basically like...
They're Bluetooth for your eyeballs.
They're essentially RoboCops / but without cyborg part, more like Captain America, super soldiers.
I feel like
you will.
You're way overdoing it. They're a bunch of dudes with a great military budget.
Yeah. Okay. But they do use special steroids that make them super strong, and because they're alive, this is the one kicker. They're always overheating, which leads to one scene where Jean-Claude Van Damme has the sweatiest butt that you'll ever see in film. And I
now we're talking science fiction.
I remember
money shot.
The only reason I remember this so vividly is because how oily he was, and the fact that. My brother's older friend, Eric, when we watched it back in, 92, so we were, 10, I guess I'm, 9 or 10 years old watching this, he comes in, he's just like, you like Jean-Claude Van Damme's sweaty butt. Here, let me pause it for you. So he paused it on the part where you're like, Eric, why are you pausing? He just left the room going, thanks, like this. So
how did you know exactly where to pause it? to a T, dude. Like, you practice this.
Yeah, because the tracking was always messed up on that part. So he was a pre-planned thing, right? He knew the delay, when to press it. And then he was just like, sweaty butt time.
and then leave the room.
And then his always thing was like, if you were ever around other people, Eric was 4 or 5 years older than us. He was like, Sean and Eric like to watch sweaty butts. Don't hang around those guys. So.
I'm going to pause this and walk away and masturbate. You guys are fucking gay.
Oh, Eric Laskowitz. He was a classic, man. He was a classic.
Can I say this before? I just remembered, of course, the Borg, i.e. from Star Trek. And I just met Allison Krieg, who was the Borg Queen a couple months ago.
So. Oh, nice. Cool.
Yeah, so.
That's cyborgy.
Yeah, man, kissing her with her creepy bald head and the things coming out of her head and everything.
Hey,
so
hot.
Hey, if the Borgs ever assimilated a dog, would they call it a Borgie?
You can leave. We don't need you to run this podcast. You can fucking leave.
That is totally wrong. It's a pit Borg.
A pit Borg? No. Ooh.
That's all I got, folks, and see you later. Yeah.
We'll fast forward to
sometimes
the end of this.
Sometimes comedy dies.
We will fast forward to the end of Universal Soldier just because I had to watch it and I must share. It comes down to a big fight scene on Jean-Claude Van Damme's ranch where his family lives. And him and Dolph Lundgren, Lundgren's kicking his ass because he's got all the steroid juice, okay? Mm. So he's pumping himself up. He's basically Bane. But guess what? JCVD gets a hold of the syringe, pumps himself with it. Now the tides are turned. He jump kicks him into a hay baler. Impales him, and then turns it on and chops him up into a million pieces, which is pretty fucking metal.
See, kids, taking drugs pays off.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I like to think of the cooking show that would come out of his ranch in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, out of that ranch, the JCVD, minced meats, something.
I like that.
Give me some time. I'll figure it out.
We'll get there.
We'll figure it out.
Whatever. What flavor is this? Oh, that's Universal Soldier flavor. and we'll leave a light on for you.
I call this the Rocky IV Tenderloin. That's
I call this the don't ask questions and do as you're told, faggot.
Here at Jean-Claude Van Damme's farm, we always make sure that we keep the Universal Soldier flavor inside our cookies. So.
Universal Soldier remembers, or does it? He has trouble with his memories. We don't remember anything where our meats came from.
It's high in protein because when you feel full, it pushes down the feelings.
Hey, it was maybe.
Are you really bad at acting? Have you no feelings of inflection? You can be a robot in a movie.
Me?
Just look at the camera and have a dull look on your face, much like the Eliminators.
Veep, veep, veep.
You mean I could be in a movie?
Or Hayden Christensen.
Or Kristen Stewart.
How about your buddy Hayden Christensen? I'm destroying the movie. I don't know how to act. Yes, Clerks 2. Bam.
I don't like to toot my own horn too much, but this movie cost about $23 million to make, and it only grossed $36 million, which is pretty much considered a pretty big flop as far as films go. Right. And it was rated as Rotten Tomatoes today rates it at a 19%.
Oh, a solid 19.
Solid 19%.
The should joke be, golf hole.
Should still be better than Navy SEALs.
That's a whole nother episode in and of itself.
I kid you not, the only thing that I remember out of the whole movie Universal Soldiers, 20 years now,
mm-hmm.
is that big giant scene of the explosion of the out in the desert of that little shop that they were at. So,
yeah.
Only thing I remember.
I love any time I can see an explosion. That's I'll sit for 2.5 hours to watch one explosion happen. Absolutely.
Hell, the beginning of shit, the movie with the vampires and George Clooney and Quentin Tarantino. Yeah.
Oh,
there's that Dust Till Dawn.
Dust Till Dawn.
Yeah, yeah, good times. Jeremy, you went to see Alien Covenant. Is there stuff you could share about the film as being a huge xenomorph?
I will try not to completely destroy it for you. I must say, my favorite James Franco part of all time.
Okay, James Franco is not in the movie, right? He's not in the movie. That's a clear thing.
You saw the teaser where he's talking with the entire ensemble with Kenny Powers.
Yeah, Danny McBride is in the film. Danny McBride confirmed in the film, yes.
He is literally in that scene more than he is in the real film. Which to me is hilarious.
So he's barely in the movie at all.
Yes, and that's what makes it one of his best roles, and I swear. you have your typical good scares in a movie. And more than that is Ridley Scott is giving so many homages to almost so many other films, including Blade Runner in this film. And at the same time, it's okay. It's okay. Well worth the seeing. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of destroying the whole mythos of Alien at the same time.
So it destroys the mythos of Alien. And at the same time, all it does is just call back to other things. Is this movie actually good, Jeremy? Because right now you made it sound like
I had to see it. I love Aliens probably more than any other franchise. I kind of compare it to...
In the ranking of all the Alien movies, Alien 2 and Alien probably being 1 and 2, Alien 3 probably being the third best one, and then is it the fourth? Is it better than Alien Resurrection? Is it better than Alien versus Predator?
Of course
Predator?
It's better than Resurrection, because Resurrection was literally the Jason 10, and I would compare...
Jason X.
I would compare that to Jason X.
Resurrection has its good moments, though. It's the most comic booky of all of them.
It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible unless you want to say number 9.
There is a guy who is strapped to a man's back with double guns that shoots people while he's climbing the goddamn thing.
Sold.
That's teamwork, okay?
Yes, I will marry you. Sold.
I will compare this one to, say... the Freddy versus Jason of the Jason movies.
Okay, entertaining. So. Not a lot substance, but entertaining.
So it's bumped Alien versus Predator. Is it better than Alien versus Predator?
Jesus Christ.
Hey, it's this.
I think it's better than Alien versus Predator because it does go into characters. And obviously, I don't want to spoil too much of it, but there's two robots.
Two robots.
And they bring back
Jesus.
The old... No, it's not bad.
It's good.
Because they bring back the old robot and there's a new robot.
And they're both the same actor?
They have a fight scene.
Oh, a robot fight scene? That does sound actually pretty dope.
Yes. The gun in my thigh is so hard right now.
Her fake penis is working!
Now, see, there's a lot of people who didn't... who are fans of the Alien series that don't like Prometheus. Now, I really liked Prometheus. I thought it was a pretty cool movie. I don't know why
no,
people
more
give it
than
so
that,
much shit.
I think that if you're into the Alien versus Predator comics, that destroyed Prometheus for you. But if you didn't come to that with that backup, the comics, it was okay. So.
Okay. Got it.
You would like it if you were less educated.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And if I was 15 again.
Ignorance is bliss.
So every film is better when you're younger because you're fresh to
it.
Oh,
no. It's good. If you are an imbecile and don't know what you're talking about, it's quite good film.
I thought the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with Vanilla Ice was the best movie I've ever
seen. I will not hear bad news about Secret of the Ooze, okay? That was a great fucking film.
The dance scene, I was dancing in the theater.
Whatever. So. The book was better. whatever.
Home run for Kim.
As you guys know, I'm a huge wrestling nerd. I don't
Hell
get into
yeah.
it this much because Jeremy doesn't like wrestling. Kim could give two shits about
it. I love
wrestling.
Midget wrestling.
I enjoyed wrestling when I watched it when I was younger.
Yes.
I just haven't followed up with it.
Yes. So
I give money to midgets to staple money to each other in wrestling.
Little factoid, in the movie Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze, the guy who plays Shredder or Super Shredder in the movie is actually a professional wrestler Kevin Nash or Diesel. It plays the part of Super Shredder, and it is my lifelong goal when I finally meet Kevin Nash, which I will day meet Kevin Nash.
You will.
Is to get him to sign my picture of Super Shredder from.
Is Kevin Nash the same guy from Devil's Rejects?
No, that is Diamond Dallas Page.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Completely.
What you need to do is back up and have respect for a second.
What else was Nash in?
Kevin Nash. He was maybe in a movie called. Magic Mike Double XL.
Well, of course I've seen that.
That I might have watched. I don't know. Maybe it was in that.
Dude, you're gonna stab him. This is just turning into one day when I meet him and we're gonna touch and then I'm gonna get him to sign my Magic Mike's XL.
Then we're gonna dock.
True story. When we had the last time we had free HBO Cinemax and all that came on. I totally watched Magic Mike Double XL. I was like, oh, there's nothing else on. Let's watch Magic Mike Double XL. I liked it. I liked the movie.
Very entertaining.
I enjoyed it from beginning to end. And then after that, Magic Mike 1 was on. I was like, well, I can't fucking not watch Magic Mike 1. Actually, better than the second one. Somehow better than the second one.
Oh, my God.
So, you know what? Do yourselves a favor. Watch the Channing Tatum classic known as Magic Mike. It's not gay unless you make it, and Matthew McConaughey is just phenomenal in it.
I don't even know if I could watch it. I feel like it's so gay.
Have you seen Louis C.K.'s? Have you seen Louis C.K.'s new stand-up where he talks about?
No.
He's like, I watch Magic Mike, and Matthew McConaughey. He's like, he comes out there in his cowboy uniform. He's all sexy, and he's just like, I see a lot of y'all. And he's like, you know, there's no touching out here tonight. But I can see a lot of lawbreakers in the audience.
Oh, that's great.
It's a true thing that happens in the film. And you know what? At the same time, I'm like, God damn, you smooth bastard.
Right.
Matthew.
Oh, Matthew.
What have you done again?
When you get to be that big of an actor, you're driving Cadillac all the time.
Whoa.
What is it like to be such a good actor and that goddamn good looking, you smooth bastard, you? Ugh,
gross.
Hey, not everybody's in Texas Chainsaw 4. So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
With Renee Zellweger.
Mm. Every time I hear her name, I think of the Dave Chappelle sketch where he's like, who the fuck is Renee Zellweger? Every time. Was the wife swap?
Wedger?
Yeah. The wife swap every time.
Heath Zellweger.
It's too offensive to say the word wigger.
No, because he doesn't know who she is because she's super white. She's some white people shit.
Yeah.
And he's like, who the fuck is Renee Zellweger? I love it.
I do. I like
it. I watched Bridget Jones' Diary 100 times.
I can't even stomach that shit. I literally can't. ugh.
I only liked her every movie. There's not a movie where she doesn't cry in, and I don't like that.
Yeah,
it bothers me that she cries in every movie that she's in.
Right,
but Jerry Maguire cries. Empire Records.
Does she cry
cries.
In Me, Myself, and Irene?
Cries
I
enough.
I fucking love that movie.
That is a good movie.
It's so great. It's such a dark, weird comedy.
He has black sons.
Yes, yes, that he raises on black television, yes. Black comedy.
Yeah,
and they're geniuses.
Part of my fantasy is just to mace Renee Zellweger for hours and then,
and just watch her cry.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's her strength, though. That's actually her power. She derives it makes her stronger. The more more mace that you give her,
I will break out of these handcuffs.
Oh, tears are my only way into Hollywood.
The Zellweger is loose.
Zellweger does sound like something that
it sounds like an infection you get in your foot.
The Roland Zellweger.
No, it sounds like something. We're
nothing.
Down here.
We're just having funny. Ha.
She's a Zellweger fan. She's not into this talk.
The Zellweger sounds like something that Christopher Walken can only stop with his prophecy. You know?
Yes, the power of the prophecy.
Are we going to move on to Friday the 13th?
Yeah, hold on, Susie. What do you want? No, you gotta stay upstairs. I'll be up in a little bit, okay?
She closes the door.
She closes the door on her love
Close
for you.
The door.
That's it. She doesn't. That's
Wait,
it.
Please don't edit a second out of this.
I won't. That was
the
my
little voice in the background.
That was my daughter Susanna, who's clearly up from her nap, ready to party.
She's 20 years old.
She's 40. She's a very demanding 45. What's up, honey?
We should teach her about cyborgs.
Editing,
schmediting,
okay? This is it. 3-year-old.
Impart
just...
your wisdom of cyborgs on her and see what her reaction is. See how she feels about it.
Well, let's see what these millennials think of...
Yeah, hot takes. This is what this is. This is a segment, hot takes.
What do you think of the movie Eraserhead?
Right, with Sue's. She's got to have a cool segment name.
Yeah, we're going to get Sue's take on cyborgs in a second.
Do you know what an eraser is?
Yeah, let's talk about it, okay?
Kids love erasers.
I did also get a video game this week. Friday the 13th, the game, the new release that's been on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation 4.
How'd that go?
I downloaded it for Xbox, and it is currently having a lot of issues.
Okay. $40.
$40 for a game that doesn't really completely work right now. PC gamers are having the time of their lives, though, but they can't make the patches fast enough for... Xbox and PlayStation, so they're having a lot of server issues. I have been able to play private matches where I have to go find, luckily, a local comedian, Bryce Chevalier. Have you met Bryce Chevalier before?
I know Bryce.
Bryce has the game, and we have been reaching out to people on Reddit to meet up, and then we'd start like a private game.
Interesting.
So, we found some people online and started a couple games that way. And the game is really fun. You either get to play as Jason, which is pretty dope. When you get to play as Jason, it's the most fun that you're going to have.
Obviously.
Until you get
word
good
up
with the camp counselors. And you get a variety of Jasons to pick as you play throughout the game. You start out with like Jason from Part 3, and you have like 7 other ones that you can unlock.
Oh,
from,
my God.
Like,
if they
movies
had like menstruation Jason, like he's just he's just pissed.
So he's so pregnant.
Yeah, so pregnant.
That's also my favorite School of House Rock is menstruation Jason. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Menstruation, Jason. Where's your fration? What? What's a fration?
But it is pretty cool. You get to do a lot of on-site like kills and stuff like that. Come here, sweetie. You can sit over next to Daddy. Okay. You gonna come sit next to me?
Join the podcast.
We have our fourth. We have
we're
our
bringing
guest
on a local comedian. She's very fresh.
She's very millennial comic genius.
We need some
Susanna,
hot takes.
Come sit right here next to Daddy.
We're gonna keep our language down to G+.
Can you talk into this? Can you say hi? No. I won't talk into the microphone. We wanted to know what you think of cyborg, Susie. What do you think of cyborg?
Do you know what a cyborg is? Do you know how they work?
She is a cyborg.
Tell me about the cyborg.
She loves electronics.
Okay. So, it's really cool. There's lots of ways you can kill people. Like I was hiding in a sleeping bag and my buddy yoked me out and like beat me up against a tree. So there's like constant callbacks to the original films.
The best part of Jason 10, by the way, Jason X.
They give you lots of abilities as Jason to like teleport kind of in front of people, like just like in the movies.
Okay.
They have really cool things like your fear meter as you're playing with a camp counselor is when Jason's chasing you, you get more and more scared and you'll start to like trip and fall down.
I like
and,
that.
Like, and like your screen will look like you're watching an old VHS all of a sudden and it's like skipping the
That's
movie
cool
almost. You're like, oh God, he's right on me. I
so
don't know where he is.
So white girls start with a really high fear meter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so you have to go into places and like hide in cabins to get your like fear down and calm down.
That's cool.
Is this any way tied into the size of their female appendages on the upper part of the body?
Well, I didn't see a lot of clitorises.
A lot of running. A lot of running and falling down. Sorry. I'm a pig!
From the weight.
I'm just glad that Kim thought that was funny. Thank you.
So
you know me. I have a garbage humor.
The game
She's
overall
so
is...
She's so guy-like. I love her! Damn it!
So... Your objective as Jason every time is to kill all the camp counselors, of course. But your objective as the camp counselor is to get out of there alive, right?
Okay.
And there's lots of ways you can do that. You can fix a car that's hidden on the board.
Mm.
And by that, when you find the car, you have to get gas for it. You have to get a battery for it. And you have to get the keys for it. So it's sometimes... And it only holds 2 people. So only 2 of like the 8 people can
escape
in the car.
It's a video game of a poor person's worst day.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty...
Just trying to get to work.
You have to get money for gas.
Right.
The rest of your time, most of it, the game is you running from house to cabin, cabin to cabin, looking for crap that you need to live.
Okay.
Right? You can also escape by boat, similar thing. You have to find all the parts for the boat. you also can call the police, and then a timer starts, and when the police show up, if you can make it to the exit, they're waiting at the exit, and they'll shoot Jason. But then every time you get something, Jason knows that you got something. Like, he knows that you're fixing the car, or he knows that the police are waiting. So he could be waiting before you get there, you know? So it's a little bit of strategy.
That's kind of more like Michael Myers. Like, somehow he just knows.
He always knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, the spy who shagged me.
And while Jason can only walk most of the time, like, depending on what Jason you get, like, sometimes you get supernatural Jason who can only walk, but his supernatural powers are very, very strong. So, like, his teleport goes, like, faster, or he can do other things that are much more exciting.
But the
meat and potatoes are definitely the deaths in the game. The deaths are so good. Like, I got one guy inside a cabin and just hung him on, like, a wall, like, on a coat hanger, like this, like, and got him there. There's other ones where you get him near a fireplace and Jason will just stomp you, like, Kurt. You going upstairs? I couldn't hear you. Say here.
Where are you going?
Upstairs.
You don't want to hang out with me and Kim and Jeremy, Uncle Jeremy? Mm-mm. Why not?
Because I'm going upstairs.
Just say because Jeremy's here. It's okay.
If somebody leaves a comment saying, "Can I do that as a star review?" I'm gonna be mad.
Okay, you can go upstairs. You gonna hang out for a couple minutes, and I'll be upstairs in a minute. Okay, we'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye, Susie.
Bye.
I'm glad you had fun on our show. Okay.
She's very shy.
Hey, Susie.
What?
I love you.
I love you, too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, sweetheart.
You're welcome.
The feels. I didn't know I could feel like this again.
Now you're a man.
I'll see you in a little bit, okay? Okay.
She just bleeds cuteness.
So overall, the game has its issues right now, and when the servers are up and running again, I think it's going to be really great, because I already enjoy when the game boots me. I'm already having a lot of fun, even though the game's booting me and shit now.
Right.
I probably wouldn't go through all of this not to play a game that was shitty. So,
How do you win the game?
You just survive. You either get out or
like,
you survive.
Like life, Jeremy.
Who do you need in the game to win it with?
Oh, one of the things that you can do, one of the ways you can survive is call Tommy Jarvis, who is from Friday the 13th, Part 6. He is,
and 5.
And 5, yes. He's a little kid.
Otherwise
in part
known
5.
As Corey Feldman.
Well, he's Corey Feldman in that one, and in another one, he's a totally different actor.
Yes,
in
grown
Part
up.
6. But yeah, he shows up with a shotgun, and he's clearly like the most powerful of all the counselors, but still
nice.
Can totally be murdered by Jason, but he shows up with shotgun at ready.
Nice.
And he's very helpful character to have, and he's supposedly the only way you can actually kill Jason in the game is to have Tommy Jarvis.
With now, a machete.
Yeah, you can kill him with a machete with the help of... I looked it up and saw the basically nerds already within the first week figured out how you can kill Jason. And what you have to do is you have to have a girl in your party go to Jason's shack where the sweater is that his mom wears.
Love shack.
She has to have the sweater on. And then when she sees, when you have the sweater on, Jason, you can start talking to Jason and she'll go, she's like, "Jason, it's me, mommy. And he'll like get stunned. And then you can knock him down. And then Tommy Jarvis can hit him with like a kill blow with a machete in
the head.
That's
cool.
Which is pretty cool.
It's a very psychological approach to killing a bad guy.
And as another distraction is where Crispin Glover is dancing to distract Jason.
Yes. The other one is Crispin Glover just stomping dogs.
Jesus.
That's his other way. the attention to detail in the game, though, is very...
Oh,
like,
gosh.
If you're a Friday the 13th fan, you will love this game just for the simple fact that the beauty to detail about every little thing, everything from, like, little kills to Jason's... the different Jason skins that look exactly like each movie that he's in, the abilities that he has, the weaponry that each one carries is very signature to that.
I love that.
The fact that it's in the 80s, so like there's no cell phones and stuff is also
right.
Really
I love
cool.
that even more.
You know what's wrong with Jason's love shack?
What's that?
His tin roof rusted.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Joke party of
love
one.
Shack.
Joke party of
love
one.
Love shack.
Is that a love shack?
Love shack, yes.
Is that a line in
B-52s,
love shack?
B-52s, yes. So
what, your love shack's rusted?
Tin roof.
Rusted. Yes.
Okay. I thought it was maybe that. Listen,
Kim got it.
No, she didn't.
Barely.
Yes,
no,
she did.
She
barely.
Didn't.
Wow, that's only a song that's like 30 years old now. That's no Rock Lobster, I'll tell you that.
And that's it. So, yeah, get Friday the 13th, but wait till the patches get fixed.
So,
otherwise, it's not worth it yet.
So, I've met two Jasons, at least.
So, you've met at least Kane Hodder.
Kane Hodder, who wanted his picture with me as Pogo. And then I came back because he told me that he had an actual Gacy painting in his house.
Whoa.
So, I was like, oh, he must be a real fan. So, I come back to him as Pogo. And, of course, I have my special I Was Raped by Pogo t-shirts that I was going to give him. I was going to give him, and I show it to him, and he gives me this look on his face like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And he literally says, dude, are you gay? which I thought was hilarious. I was like, no, I'm married to a woman. He's like, yeah, what is that? Whatever. Whatever.
Did you then look at him and say, listen, I'm not gay. Now, can I suck your
dick?
Or what?
You can't use being married as a justification to a Gacy fan. Gacy was married.
Of course. He was a swinger, too. So, you know, the second one.
He was only guilty of having a mortuary under his house.
So he didn't accept.
Who hasn't?
He didn't accept my free t-shirt. But the second one is Steve Dash. And this was way before I pogoed up. And he was the Elephant Man Jason.
So Jason Part 2, I guess?
Yeah, Jason Friday 13th 2. And I was like, I don't really care about, you know, Jason Part 2. He told me he was the double for stunt double for Billy Batts in Goodfellas. I'm like, fuck yeah, sign me up. I want a picture taken with. I love Goodfellas. Anybody from Goodfellas, you're like a star and a god to me. So
did you hear that Netflix has paid over $100 million to make a new Martin Scorsese film that's going to have Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, Al Pacino, and Robert Duvall all in it.
Wow. Duvall.
Shut up.
Now that's a bonus. So
all the big ones all in one right there. De Niro,
Apocalypse Now Part 2.
Guess who else has got a big one after hearing that? This guy.
Herva J is talking again.
We haven't mentioned that Kim's been sitting on a birthing ball this entire time.
This is really fun.
Hasn't been pregnant in years.
Not since I was 7. So, thank you very much.
She hasn't had this much entertainment since she was a Girl Scout. So.
And that was the quality time sigh.
I think that's pretty much our show, ladies and gents. Yay!
Here it comes,
Jean Claude.
Bring
Jean-Claude.
On the XJ.
Well, I wasn't even ready yet. You're doing it, Kim. tell us about the next second Saturday shit show that's coming.
It's gonna be awesome. We have an all lady lineup. We do this every year. We celebrate the ladies. Violet Grey has headlined and performed, and we have a really awesome headliner. I don't want to say her name incorrectly, but it's Elahe Azadi, I believe. That's how you say that. She's super funny.
Is she Irish?
Sounds like a terrorist to me.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. She's going to tell a lot of jokes about getting through airport security, and we're gonna have a good night. It's free. It's always free. The second Saturday of every month. So whatever the second Saturday in June is, what is that, the 10th?
Heck yeah.
So
that's next, we'll be 1 week from today, right?
Yep,
so
upstairs at Auto Bar.
Yeah, that'll be 7, that's the 10th,
That's the 10th.
Yeah,
yes.
So it's June 10th, check out the second Saturday shit show at the Auto Bar. Sunday, 6-11. We'll be at Syracuse, that's the Funny Bone in Syracuse. You can check Kim and I out there.
In Delaware.
The rest of the Murder Mystery cast.
Follow us on Die Laughing Productions on Instagram.
Die Laughing Productions. Everything Eric and Eric Comedy can be found at ericcomedy.com.
Hoo-ah.
And check out Jeremy, he's looking in your trash right now. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thank you. It's funny because I actually slowed it down so it almost sounds legit. Like.